Welcome to the Cowie Baptist Church podcast. To learn more about Cowie, including our gathering times, visit us online at cowie.church. Enjoy the message.
What a great time of worship. And, you know, that song has become one of my favorites. And almost every morning as I travel, I listen to that song and just am reminded of just our great God and his love for us and just the gratitude that we have for the shed blood of Christ. And I'm so thankful that through the shed blood of Christ, we've been given access to the very throne of heaven, that we can come to our great God and that we can worship and that we can come and in prayer. And just a great blessing this morning to enter into this time. And, you know, I'm excited for tonight. As Brent shared earlier, we have our annual pig picking. And so for those of you that don't know what that is, we'll be gathered down at the Cowie School, free barbecue, inflatables, and I'm ready to race, especially if you're over 40. And I'll take some of you young whippersnappers too. But still, that was right before I pulled a muscle probably. So that was... But we're excited to gather there and just invite a friend, and we'll enjoy that time together. There'll be a short time of testimony and just some great moments along the journey, but we are just grateful for our brotherhood and for those that are laboring to put that together. You know, as we think about this passage that we're in, if you are a guest with us, we're so glad you're here, and we've been walking through the book of Acts, and as we've been doing that, normally we walk just verse by verse through Scripture, and we're going to do a little bit different this morning. We're going to read and walk through the last part of Acts chapter 6. And then there's a really long sermon. You guys are used to those. And so there's a really long sermon. That was free. And so there's a really long sermon. And we're going to do that one next week, right? And so we're going to kind of see the last part of Acts chapter 6. We're going to skip that sermon, look at it next week. And we're going to look at the last part of Acts chapter 7. And there's a moment in this passage that stirs my heart in just an incredible way. And I was thinking about moments that we might could relate to, moments that maybe we could think about a scene that we're going to see. And what is it that causes us to stand to our feet, right? We stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God here at Cowie. And so we'll do that here in a few minutes. There's moments where maybe we're watching an athletic event. Maybe we're at some kind of race or at some kind of moment. I think about those, and there's been those moments that we've been able to cheer on, like a track team. And I can remember when Hope was a freshman, there was a moment in the state finals where it seemed like we were going to lose by a long shot. And all of a sudden, our final runner, Dylan Garcia, I've actually even shared the video here before, she comes from kind of out of nowhere and just passes everybody. And so not only are we cheering, right, and we're standing to our feet, and the whole stands are, right? It's just a place where this moment of just the way she was engaging those things, everybody's just standing to their feet. This week we went and watched a movie called The Forge. Some of you may have seen that. Is in the movies here in our town. The Kendrick brothers put that together, and that's showing in the theaters. And so especially if you're like a dad or just a man in there, it's just got a great encouraging message there. And it reminded me of a scene from one of the first movies that the Kendrick brothers put out. Many of you remember Facing the Giants. You remember that movie? It's been kind of a season back. Some of you remember that movie. Well, we actually brought the kicker from that movie and one of the other guys that was there, and he came and we did kind of a student event, and they spoke and we shared the gospel and just had a neat time. Well, at the end of that movie, there's kind of this winning moment, right, or this down to the edge. And, you know, in all the movies, everything happens and ends like we want it to, and people win. So you guys kind of know what's happening there. But there's a moment where there's a scene where this young man is about to kick this, and somebody stands for him. I want to show you that scene. We're going to jump in to the scripture after that, so you can check that out.
David, whether you make this field goal or not, we're going to praise him. But don't you walk off this field having done any less than your best.
Can I help you?
Don't touch me. I'm standing for my son.
Yeah, so there's kind of a stirring moment there. I could let you see the end, right? Let you see the field goal kick go in and all the things that are there. But, you know, there's a little moment there, and it was a stirring moment for me. I remember when we watched it, and this guy's standing. It kind of takes you into the emotion of that moment. But there's a moment today in this passage that leaves me just completely in awe, right? And we pick up today to kind of bring into context where we're at. We've seen this early church proclaiming the good news of the gospel, and people are coming to faith in Christ, and the gospel is going forth. There's just an incredible movement of God. And we see in the early part of Acts chapter 6 that as the church was growing, that there arose a complaint. There arose this need among the church. The Bible says that there was a murmuring that was going through the church. And so they recognized this need, and they appointed men that would come from the church, right? They appointed these men, Greek men that would serve and wait on these tables of these Hellenistic widows, and they would serve them in such a way that this need would be met. And so there's a man that we were introduced to last week as we looked at this scripture that was a man named Stephen. And the Bible says that that this was a man who was full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom. And we see just this incredible way that God uses these men. And as he uses them, and as they serve, what we read in Acts chapter 6, verse 7, is that there's this incredible way that the gospel's continuing to go forth, and there is a multiplication of disciples, and there are many that are coming to faith in Christ. And so it's just this moment of rejoicing, right, as the apostles are continuing to proclaim the word of God. The disciples are continuing to increase in number. And then we get to this place in verse 8 where we really lean in and look at the life of this man named Stephen. And I want us to stand this morning in honor of the reading of the Word of God. And we're going to read verses 8 to 15. And then we'll skip over to chapter 7 and read verses 54 to the end of the chapter. Let's begin reading this morning in verse 8. Scripture says, "And Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. But some men from what was called the synagogue of the freedmen, including the Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and some from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and argued with Stephen. But they were unable to cope with the wisdom and with the spirit with which he was speaking. Then they had secretly induced men to say, 'We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God.' And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came up to him and dragged him away and brought him before the council. They put forward false witnesses who said, 'This man incessantly speaks against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Nazarene Jesus will destroy this place and alter the customs which Moses handed down to us.' And fixing their gaze on him, all who were sitting in the council saw his face like the face of an angel." Turn to chapter 7, beginning in verse 54. It says, "Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the quick, and they began gnashing their teeth at him. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens opened up, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' But they cried out with a loud voice, and covered their ears, and rushed at him with one impulse. When they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him, and the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' And having said this, he fell asleep. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Will you pray with me? Father, we are so grateful. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for, God, just the witness of this first martyr, God, of Stephen, and the things that we see in his life, of, God, a life that was a full life, even though it was short, because it was lived for your glory. And God, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to live our life, God, every day that we have remaining, God. And we know that you are the only one that knows about exactly what that is. But we pray, God, that you would help us to live every day, every minute, for the glory of your name, Lord. And if there's anyone here that's never responded to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Lord, that today they would turn from their sin and trust in you. God, that they would recognize that what you did on that cross, that it was for them, and that they would believe and rest their faith in you. Lord, we ask this in the strong and the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Now, Stephen was an interesting guy, right? He was a man that we don't know very much about until he is introduced at one of these seven faithful men, one of these seven men that are selected. And one of the things we can know about Stephen is that he was a man that had recognized that life was not about him, right? He was a selfless kind of guy, right? And we see point number one today is that God uses selfless saints to serve his church. We see it all around our church, people that are here very early in the morning, people that are down at the school right now preparing a meal for tonight, those that will be setting up after church, those that that arrive early and prepare to use their gifts for the glory of God and lead us in worship, those that serve in so many ways. And God uses all these things for his glory, and I'm so grateful for so many selfless saints that are serving for the glory of God. And we think about this word selfless, right? And I had to ask myself this question, like, am I selfish or selfless? Maybe that's a question we all should ask. Like, and if we're honest, we recognize that there's part of us that, I mean, we're just selfish people. It's how we're wired. It's how we're made. I mean, I don't know if any of you spouses understand that it's probably better if your husband is going with you to the store. It's just really a good idea to feed him before you go, right? Have you? Has anybody experienced that? Like you're waiting in the store and somehow we can have, you know, all kinds of patience or think we're going to have that. And we can watch that clothes hanger like slide across. And if our belly growls, like we can lose some of that pretty quick, right? We can find ourselves waiting in a drive-through line and getting aggravated at people around us. We can have these moments where we're not exhibiting really this selfless kind of way about us. And I was thinking and I was reminded of a C.S. Lewis term that I believe he was the one that really first introduced this. And he talked about humility really being more self-forgetfulness than being selfless. And when he was talking about that, you know, really humility or this gospel humility is not us thinking more of ourself or less of ourself, but just simply thinking of ourself less, right? It's a fairly simple concept, and there's some modern writers that have taken this. Tim Keller wrote a book called The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness that looks at this kind of same concept. I think it's Ray Ortland that also has written a book recently. I haven't read that one, but there's books that